Reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda Chapter 1, the glorious teachings and life story of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yesterday, we were hearing and reading about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after his initiation, of course, from Ishwarpuri, he's taken on a new mood. He's become, rather than the proud pandit, he's become the Krishna conscious pracharak. He's become a preacher of Krishna consciousness. So at this particular point in time, he's sitting with his mother, Shachi Mata, and he's absorbed himself in Kapila Avatara Vesh. He's absorbing himself in the mood of his previous avatar, you can say Shakti Vesh Avatar, of Kapila Muni. And Kapila Muni, he's the son of Devahuti and Kardav Muni. And one day he sat down with his mother. Maybe she inquired, I don't remember. But he sat down and he said, "Listen, Mom, I want to tell you about the facts of life." Usually the mother tells the son what we call the facts of life. But in this case, Kapila Muni wants to tell the facts of life. So he so Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Vedavyas, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's saying that Mahaprabhu entered into the same mood of Lord Kapila. Because Mahaprabhu is Swayam Bhagavan, he's Purna Bhagavan, he's all the avatars are within him. So especially in his Navadvipa pastimes, he was from time to time displaying different avatars. Sometimes he was Nrisimha avatar, sometimes he was Ram avatar, sometimes he was Vishnu avatar, sometimes he was, of course, Krishna is always there. The different avatars he showed to different devotees at different times. So now to Mother Shachi, he's showing Lord Kapila, because Kapila is within him. Sarva avatari, all the avatars and incarnations and shaktis and everything is within Lord Chaitanya. Sarvaishwarya Purna. So now we're kind of in the middle of how he's describing, and this is the tattvas, he's describing karma tattva and jiva tattva. The predicament, precarious position of the jiva in the womb. And he's describing what's actually happening there at the age of 7 months. After 7 months in the womb, the garbhavas of the mother, then the child, the baby, begins to pray. He actually begins to pray to Bhagavan, to Vishnu, to God. And this is an incredible insight, because all the stethoscopes and sonoscopes and sonography and microscopes and telescopes and all the different scientific perception and technology that people have, or scientists have nowadays, telling us about the gender of the fetus. What gender is the fetus? Will the child be a boy or a girl? And they film and take pictures of the different stages of development, but they don't actually understand. To this point, and probably forever, they'll never really understand. They can never tell us, what is that fetus thinking? What is that jiva thinking? What is he feeling? But our science, our Vedic science, this is Vigyan, Paravidya. This Paravidya, this transcendental knowledge, this supreme knowledge, which is coming directly from the words of God Himself, Bhagavan Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is, and of course Lord Kapila, in Bhagavatam, third canto. This knowledge is giving us direct perception. We're actually traveling inside the womb, and we're sitting next to the baby in the womb at the age of 7 months, and we're hearing his prayers. Lord Chaitanya is telling, this is how he's feeling. This is how he feels when the mother eats chili peppers and red chili, rajma full of red chili or whatever. He's crying, he's burning in pain. The stomach he's being burned by the mother's blood because of all the chilies. So all these experiences are being depicted and described here in the Vedic literature. Extraordinary vision. That's why it says Gyana Chakshush. Gyan Chakshush. So knowledge itself is a sort of vision. If you get knowledge of biology, it gives you vision into the science of life. If you get knowledge of chemistry, it gives you some vision into the way chemicals act and elements interact. So this is called Vidya Chakshush. But the scriptures give us Paravidya Chakshus. They give us the eye of transcendental knowledge. They actually give us the eye, because material knowledge gives us the eye to see the material world. You study astronomy and the stars and all these things. Then when you look at the stars, you say, oh, do you know that's this, con- this is that, that's this particular galaxy, and this is this particular star, and this is Venus, and this is Saturn, and you can have some kind of understanding of the stars and firmament. So that gives material knowledge, gives material perception. Gyan Chakshush, the eye of knowledge. But spiritual knowledge allows us to see transcendence, allows us to see the Atma, allows us to see the substratum of reality. The substratum of reality is spirit, transcendence. Everything is based on spirit. Creation is based on God is a supreme spiritual being, and He creates everything. So this body, the substratum of this body is the Atma. No Atma, no body. When the Atma is there, the body exists, it maintains, it grows, it produces byproducts. But when the Atma leaves, then the body disintegrates. Dust thou art, and dust thou become. Well, the body is nothing but material elements. So the animating principle, the life principle, the living principle is consciousness. Consciousness is the energy, the Atma. So therefore, these books are to give us supreme knowledge, because not only do the Vedas describe the whole gamut of material knowledge, but the Vedas describe the esoteric knowledge of the Atma, the mysterious knowledge of the Self. And what we can't, what is invisible, what is imperceptible, what is invisible, what is imperceptible, what cannot be weighed, what cannot be measured, what cannot be seen, can be understood by Veda. Because the soul cannot be seen, cannot be weighed, cannot be measured. But you can see the soul and understand the soul very clearly and precisely by studying Vedanta, by studying the Vedas of India. So this is superior knowledge. It's called para. Para means superior, beyond, transcendental. Paravidya. Paravidya Chakshush. So this is not only Gyan Chakshush, but this is Vigyan. Vigyan Chakshush. It gives us the eye of realized knowledge. Gives us the eye of transcendental knowledge. So this is, so now we're in the middle of this whole dialogue. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, at that time the living entity remembers his previous sinful activities and repents. He sighs deeply and he offers prayers to Krishna. Oh Krishna, this the living entity, the jivas, not just Indian jivas, Russian jivas. There's no such thing. Well, just for your understanding. Russian jivas, French jivas, French fries. The jivas, they're all the living entities when they're in the womb at the age of 7 months, which is before they come out. And you think they don't start speaking. When does a child start speaking? When he's 3 years old or something? How old? Three?
Two and a half.
He says a few sentences. I don't mean just mama, papa. I mean a sentence. Hello, goodbye. So we think by material knowledge that a jiva, when he comes out of the womb as a little baby girl boy, that he starts speaking when he's 2.5 years old, right? Hello, goodbye, or whatever. But Lord Chaitanya is telling, no, they're speaking when they're 7 months old. They're offering prayers means they're speaking. This is speaking. Prayers means speaking. It's not go, 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 go. That's not a prayer. Is that speaking? No, they're speaking. At 7 months old, they're speaking. This is extraordinary. This is achintya, inconceivable. This is not make-believe. This is not phantasmagoria, mythology. This is fact, factual knowledge. God is telling, Lord Chaitanya, God is saying, this is how it is, Jack. This is the reality. It's like this. Do you believe it? No, I don't believe it. But some people do. So he says, Konati patakira janma nahi hai. Garbe garbe hayapuna utpati pralai. This is the prayer. I don't know if this is the Bengali boys. The Bengali 7-month-old babies in Bengal, they're praying in this way, in Bengali. The ones in England, they're praying like this. O Krishna, O life and soul of the universe, please protect me. Other than you, to whom can a living entity submit his sorrows? Now that is a very, very eloquent baby. 7-month-old baby, he's very eloquent. Sorrows. submit, universe, big vocabulary, very big vocabulary, 7 months old, right? When he comes out, what kind of vocabulary does he have? Blah, 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 blah. He somehow, the pain of birth made him forget everything, and that's what happens. Because it's painful. If it is not painful, ask the mother. Is it painful? Yes. Unless you're drugged out or on cesarean or whatever. But a natural childbirth is painful. No pain, no gain. You want to gain a child, you have to pay the price. So you think you're, it's two people are involved. There's a mother and there's a baby, right? Only the mother's painting? The child's like having a good time. He's like, all right, disco, all right. The child's enjoying. He's having the greatest time of his life. Is it right? If you're moaning and groaning and suffering and want to die, let me die. Forget the baby. Just kill me. I'd rather die than have this child. Then what do you think the child's doing? He's doing the same thing. He's also suffering and crying. Oh, my God, you're squeezing my head. Ouch! My head's in a vice, man. What the hell's going on here? You know, vice is you crush things in a vice. My head's like this, and all of a sudden it's going to go, hey, man, wow, I got a headache. I got a splitting headache. My mother's squeezing my head in half. And get me out of the opening. It's like this. But before, and then, so what happens when somebody hits you on the head? You get something. What is it called? It's called amnesia. When they hit you on the head, you ever hear this disease, amnesia?
Yes.
You ever heard? Yes, no. No. Well, anyone who has a little broader knowledge, there's a very famous disease called amnesia. You fall off your scooter, you get hit on the head, you get in a fight, fall down the stairs, and you forget. You say, who are you? I don't know. What's your name? I don't know. It's like your computer. You drop it on the ground and try to run it. Now you take your computer, boom, then press the button. What's going to happen? Nothing. Your memory is going to be messed up, right? Because you hit the computer. Is this a computer? So, boink, then, I have to reboot my hard drive here. Who am I? So then they call in a hypnotist, they call in a psychiatrist, and they give you drug therapy. It's a very common thing. Shock therapy, electric shock therapy, kind of jolt you back to reality. Oh, yeah, I'm Bharti Patel. I'm supposed to cook the chapati, so I forgot all about it. Oh, you mean I have to cook the dinner? That's right. Get up and cook the dinner. Your forgetfulness is over now. So this is amnesia. So that's what happened to the kid. He had all these good shlokas in his pocket when he was 7 months old. When he came out, when he got hit on the head, he came out, his motherboard was corrupt. His memory drive was all crapped out. It was all broken. So when he came out, he was like, and that's what your computer does too. You turn on, it goes, wah, 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 wah. You drop it on the ground, try to turn on your computer, it'll also cry. It'll go, ba, 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 wah, 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 wah. Right? But at this point, he's quite vocal and quite eloquent. He's saying, oh, Krishna, life and soul of the universe, please protect. He has Sambandha Gyan. He knows who Krishna is. Oh, God, you're the Raksha Krishna Jagat Jivar Prananath. Toma bhai dukha jiva nidevide nivedibe katkata. Then he goes on. He has many prayers. He has a long list of prayers. The 7 month, he has quite a repertoire. He's got a lot of songs to sing in there. He doesn't come on stage and sing one song. He has many songs. His hit songs, his new songs. So he has many songs to sing. Then he sings Mitya dana putarase gonailun janama nabajilun toradui amulya charan. I've wasted my life in vain, seeking pleasure in wealth and children. Thus I have not worshipped your priceless lotus feet. Ye pucha poshana kailun ashesha vidarme kotava se sabagela mora e karme. Where are the sons? Where are the sons that I raised through endless sinful activities? Where have they now gone, leaving me alone to enjoy the results of my deeds? Ekana e duke mora, ke karibe para, tumi se ekana bandhu, kariba udhara. Now, who will deliver me from this miserable condition? O Lord, You are the only friend who can deliver me. Because who's in there? Is anybody in there? You're all by yourself, right? When you're by yourself, you feel afraid, lonely, scared, dependent, weak. You need some help from above, from beyond. ATK Janino Satya Tomara Charan Raksha Prabhu Krishna Tora Layanu Sharan. I have therefore understood that your lotus feet are the truth. Satya Tomara Charan. Tomara Charan. Your feet are Satya. Janinu. Janinu, I know, I understand. Raksha Prabhu Krishna. Prabhu Krishna Tora Layanu Sharan. I take shelter of you, Layanu, Layanu Sharan. Please protect me. Tumihena Kapataru. Takura Chodiya, Bulilana Asatpate Pramata Haya. Giving up a desire tree like you, I became mad and took up sinful life. Kalpaturu, Takur. That's a very interesting Takur. Well, who's your Takur? He's Kalpaturu Takur. The baby in the womb, he's calling Takur means your Takur, your Ishta. Your Ishta Devata. Your Ishta. Takur, he's saying, Kalpaturu, he says, Kalpaturu Takur. This is a very beautiful poetic phrase that Vrindavan Thakur is using to describe God. God is Kalpaturu Thakur. We say Thakurji. Thakurji. This is Thakurji Kagar. This is the deity room. Thakurji Kagar. Is that right? Or Kamra. Thakurji Kakamra. This is the room of Thakurji. This is my deity, Thakurji. See, Kalpaturu Thakur. Bulilana, Asatpate, Pramata. I became completely, Pramata means Prakrishna mud. Prakrishna mud, I mean completely, excessively, absolutely, totally mad. And I took up sinful life, Asatpat. That's very, it's so interesting. This language in Bengali and Sanskrit, how they poetically describe, it's called Pat. Pat means path. And asat means the path of temporality. Right? Asatpat. Because anything you do material sense enjoyment, it's all basically temporary, and it keeps you in a temporary world of birth and death. So its translation is sinful life. Asatpat. There's satpat. Satpat means the path of eternity. Satpat. P-A-T-H. Pat. 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 Uchita tahara e yoga shasti hai karila te ebe kripa kara mahashai. O Lord, you have certainly awarded me proper punishment, but now please bestow mercy on me. Here he's calling the Lord Mahashai. Mahashai means great person, great with all good qualities. He's saying, shasti hai, you give me the shasti. Shasti, you're giving me punishment. Kripa karo. And he says, okay, you punished me, you beat me up. You punished me, you stuck me in this room. Okay, I got my just desserts. I'm here because of my pop, my sin. I'm stuck up here in another body, suffering in this womb. Okay, all right, I accept it. But now, kripa karo, please be merciful. E kripa kara jena, toma na pasari, yekane sekane kene, na janmi na bani, Najanmi Namari. Be merciful to me so I may not forget you wherever I take birth and die. So now he's saying, okay, I was very sinful, maybe I had to take many, many births and go into many, many wombs, but this is my solitary, singular prayer at your lotus feet. Oh, Kalpaturu Thakurji. Kalpaturu means you can fulfill any desire. You're Kalpaturu Thakurji and you're Mahashaya. You're decorated with all wonderful qualities and attributes. So, because you're a Mahashaya and you're a Kalpaturu Thakurji, then I have a petition at your lotus feet. Please, Kripakuro, may I not forget you. Toma ne pasari. Pasari means forget. Then he has some more prayers. He's really praying. The little baby, little boy, he's 7 months old. He's on his hands and knees inside the womb and he's praying to God. Can you imagine? Yekane tamara nahi, yashira prachar, Yatanahi Vaishnava Janera Avatar Yekane Tomara Jatra Mahotsavat Nai Indraloka Hailat Otaha Otaha Nahi Chai. Any place where your glories are not heard, any place where the Vaishnavas do not appear, and where there are no festivals for your pleasure, I do not wish to live there, even if it is the celestial abode of Indra. So now he's saying, all right, maybe I have to take so many births, so please. He's putting some conditions on his birth. First he says, okay, I may take so many births, but please bless me that I don't forget you. That's the first thing he asked in the previous verse, Napasari, that I don't forget you. Now he's saying, well, not only that, but let me modify my request a little bit. Make sure when you give me birth here or there, make sure the Vaishnavas are nearby, and make sure I will hear your glories, and make sure I can there be some Radhastami festivals and some Gaurapurnima festivals and some Sunday love feasts, some Sunday love feasts down the street, so I can go to the temple and get puris and rajma and sweet rice, right? So make sure that that's nearby. And don't stick me over in Nandakanda and forest and Swargaloka. Please don't do that. So now he's putting, okay, I'll take another birth here or there anywhere, but don't give me birth where there's no temple nearby and there's no devotees nearby, because that would be too much. No, only Punjabis pray like this. Only Punjabis pray like this, but everybody else, they don't. They just don't do disco inside the womb. Realize, because he's already suffered birth and death 1,000,000,000 times. That's still in his chitta. His chitta, he has chittas there. His consciousness is there. And embedded in the chitta are all the previous sanskaras. Well, he already prayed like this, and somebody, he has samskaras. He already composed these prayers 1,000 times. He's praying, but he hasn't gotten very serious. Praying is one thing; getting serious is another thing. Because he prays in the womb, and then he comes out, and then he opens a brothel. Right? He opens a brothel and opens a whiskey shop, and the whole life sells whiskey, and goes to Las Vegas and dances around with prostitutes. And again, then he goes to hell. Then he finally gets another human birth. And again, he offers these prayers. So praying is easy. Anybody can pray, but actually surrendering and following what do they say? Walk your talk. So he's talking, but he's not walking yet. And when he starts walking, he doesn't talk like this. He forgot all these prayers. So then he's saying, now, this text 222 is rather interesting. I know I just read what it says here in English, and then it has some Sanskrit verse, because apparently Vrindavan Das Thakur quoted some Sanskrit verse. So I don't know whether he gave this Bengali introduction. I assume he gave a Bengali introduction to the Sanskrit verse. This is text 222 of chapter 1 of Chaitanya Bhagavat. The supremacy of human birth in the land of India, which is favorable for the service of Hari, and the great utility for achieving the fifth goal of life. What's the fifth goal of life?
Bhakti.
What is the fifth goal of life?
Bhakti.
You don't know? What's the fourth goal of life? What's the third goal of life? Ding dong. What's the first goal of life? The first goal of life is to be a religious person. I just want to be religious, dharmic. I want to live a pious life. Simple, pious life. That's dharma. What's the second goal of life? I want money, man. I want money, wealth, position, religion, okay, whatever. But this is what I want. With religion or without religion, I don't care, I want heart. This is a goal of life. And what's the third goal of life?
Calm.
That's everyone's goal of life. Kambhav. Kambhav means the bhav of sense enjoyment. The bhav, the feeling, the desire to enjoy. Kambhav. Kambhav. So that's actually becomes a goal of life in itself. These individual artas, these are all arts or objectives. Art means objectives. So dharma can be an objective. So what is the goal of life? Just dharma. People want to be just religious. And be, it's called dharma dwaji. They want to fly the flag of dharma. Some people just, they want money, wealth, steal, beg, rob, anything. They want money, whatever money can buy. And then the third goal of life is people just want to enjoy. Beg, borrow, steal. This is called Charvak Muni's philosophy. Hedonism. Just enjoy. Forget about, with money or without money. With position or without position. Art, that's a goal. It means I want position or I want money or I want fame. But the third goal of life is just calm. Means sense enjoyment. I just want to enjoy my senses like a pig, like an animal in the street, anywhere, enjoy. Nothing to do with religion. Then the fourth goal of life, is moksha, which can be material or spiritual. Generally it's material. People only want swarga moksha. That's the fourth goal of life. Dharma, art, kam, moksha, these are four goals of life. Chatur purusharta. Purusha means human being, person. And chatur means four. And arta means desirable objectives. Chatur purusharta. Art is one of them, but also art, all four of them are arts. Desirable objectives. Aim of life. Now the fifth aim of life, the fifth goal of life, aim of life, is Prema Pumartha Mahan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains. Prema Pumartha Mahan. Prema, love of God, which is beyond Swarga Moksha. It's Mukti, already includes Mukti, is already there. So this is the fifth goal. This is some people. This is my desired objective. I don't care about kam, or I don't care about name, fame, position, money, religion, and all this homo, yogi, this, that, everything. I don't care. My only objective in life is love of God. All I want is to loving service of God. I want to serve the feet of Krishna. With money, without money, with position, no position, I don't care about anything. This is called the fifth goal of life. Prema Pumartama. So he's saying, so this introduction is saying here that birth in India is a great utility, means that you can, it's useful for achieving the fifth goal of life provided by human birth in the land of Bharat. Why? Because India is full of sacred places where Lord Hari appeared and enacted his pastimes, and which is better than the temporary heavenly planets where remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord is absent. This prayer of the baby in the womb, the 7-month-old child in the womb, he's praying, listen, I've already done the swarga thing. I already went to swarga. I already did it. It's in my chitta. I have remembrance of that. Don't stick me up over there. And I already was born in St. Petersburg. I don't want to go there again. And I was already born in New York. I don't want to go to New York. I don't want to be born in New York. And I don't want to be born in Sydney or Paris or any place. I already did it. I remember all those places. So I want to be born in India. But he's not saying India. He's saying, I want to be born where people say Hare Krishna, where there's loudspeakers all over the place chanting Ram Nam, Vishnu Nam, Krishna Nam, Gaur Nam. And I want to be born in a place where they're always having bandaras and giving out Krishna Prasad. And I want to be in a place where there's a temple on every block. I want to be in a place where every 100 meters there's a temple of Shiva, Ram, Durga, Krishna. And I want to be in a place where there's sadhus walking all around the place begging and talking about God. And I want to be in a place where there's holy and sacred rivers. And I want to be in a place where God appeared and walked. I want to be born in that kind of place. Where is that kind of place? India. Haridwar, Dwarka, Badrinath, Rameshwaram, the place is full of tirthas and dhams. What holy tirtha do you have in Moscow? Leningrad. Everyone knows Leningrad. Leningrad is a holy tirtha, Lenin's place. Bhagavan Lenin, Bhagavan Stalin. In Italy they have Bhagavan Mussolini. In America they have Bhagavan Carter and Bhagavan whoever. Well, I don't know whoever's over there. So, obviously, they're all Mlechadesh, Pap Bhumi, Mlechadesh, Yavanadesh. They're not desirable places to take birth. They have very many holy tirthas in America. Las Vegas, it's a very famous tirtha. Many people go there on pilgrimage. Many Indians go there to bathe in the saliva of prostitutes' mouths. take a holy bath in the saliva of the prostitutes' mouths in the Hilton Hotel. Many Indians go there because we had a preaching center there, and I was there preaching. Preaching means we were distributing books, actually. There's no preaching over there except book distribution. So many Indians come to Las Vegas, and we meet them and say, "What the hell are you doing here?" I stop them right in the airport. "What are you doing here?" "Oh, we came to gamble. We came to drink and eat meat. And I just give them good sauce." So you left Bharat Bhumi, you left the land of Dharma, Dharma Bhumi, come here and become a Mlechan Yavani. You rascal. Had a good time over there. It's a very important pilgrimage. What's another famous, world famous place of pilgrimage in America? You never heard? Disney World. The old name is Land. New name is World. Every Indian must go. There's no such thing, and it's a pilgrimage to the subcontinent of America, without a holy dip in Las Vegas, and without a few rides in Disney World. And then, of course, what's the third most important holy place in America? Manhattan, New York, then San Francisco. These are great places. The cable car, the dancing girls, the disco, the fish dinners. I mean, it's great. Don't miss it. It's a great place to get putrefied. Putrefied. It's a land of putrefaction. Corrosion, putrefaction. Ruin the atma, ruin the soul. But India is a land of purification. Punya bhumi. Punya means purification. Sacred nadis, holy nadis, punya nadis, sacred rivers, mountains, lakes, temples, mandirs, janmasthans. That's a fantastic place. So there's a verse that the demigods are speaking. It says that the Nayatra Vaikuntha Kata Sudha Paga Masadavo Bhagavatas Tadashraya Nayatra Yagyeshu Maka Mahutsava Sarisha Loko Pina Vai Sasevyatam. This is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. Apparently it's a Bhagavatam verse, but it's not told which one. An intelligent person does not take interest in a place, even if it's the topmost planetary system. If the pure Ganga of topics concerning the Lord's activities does not flow there. So this is a type of Ganga. We have a Suraduni Ganga, Patal Ganga, Suraduni Ganga in the heavenly planets, and Patal Ganga in the hellish planets, and we have the Ganga in this planet, Akandananda and Ganga, and different Alakananda, whatever it is, Alakananda and Ganga. And there's different Gangas, rivers. So this Harikatamritam, Tapakatamritam Taptajivanam, this Harikatam is compared to like a Ganga, it's flowing. And where that's flowing, the person wants to take birth. If devotees are not engaged in service on the banks of such a river of piety, or there is no Sankirtan, festivals of Sankirtan Yajna to satisfy the Lord, an intelligent person has no interest there. So now the baby prays on. And boy, he's really praying a lot. This baby, Oh, okay. The prayers end there. This way the child Kathleen burns. We'll just finish this page of prayers. There's a couple more prayers going on. He's really, really quite a covey. He's only 8 months, 7 months old, but he's quite a poet. He's already a master of Vyakaran, grammar and covey. What happened? You were such a great poet, such a language master, and now you can't even do anything. Garbhavasa Duka Prabhu Eho Mora Bhala Jaditora Smriti Mora Rahe Sarvakala. I don't mind the miseries of living in the womb, provided I can constantly remember you. Garbhavas Duka. Duke Garbhavas. Living in the garbha is so much sadness, unhappiness. Smriti, as long as I can, sarvakala, all the time I can remember you. Because remembering Krishna means loving Krishna. You can't remember someone you don't love. Or someone you're attached to. You may be attached to someone in hate also. Kamsa was hating Krishna, and he was always remembering him out of hatred. And of course that remembrance was purifying him, and a hateful attitude was contaminating, so there was a balance going on. He was getting contaminated and purified simultaneously. His hateful attitude, in it, which was expressed with a desire to kill Krishna, was being counterbalanced by his remembrance of Krishna. Because Krishna is completely pure of a pavitra. So if you remember Krishna, you become pure. But if you desire to kill him, you become contaminated. That's why finally Krishna killed him and liberated him, because he was purified at that time. There's no more contamination. So the child is saying, okay, I'll suffer in the womb, garbhavasa dukkha, but smriti, I want to remember you. And I said, remembrance is a byproduct of either love or hate, but it's better to remember someone out of love. So when one actually has love of God, then he's very happy wherever he is. Because love itself is made of happiness. This is the nature of love. Prem means to be full of ras, be full of love. So if someone actually has Krishna prem, he doesn't care where he is, or what he has or what he doesn't have. He's high or low, or poor or rich, or hungry or fed or not fed. It doesn't matter, he's happy, because he's in love with God. You see, that people are in love, they forget to eat. Sometimes people fall in love, they forget to eat. They don't know what time it is. They forget to dress properly. They run out to meet their lover. See the gopis? The gopis say, oh, Krishna's calling us with a flute. Well, let's finish our dinner first. Let's get dressed first. Oh, that sweet rice looks too good. Oh, Krishna's calling me. Anyway, he can wait. Give me some more sweet rice. No, they dropped the food on the ground. They dropped the bowl. They were serving their husband and dropped on the ground and ran out the door. They weren't even dressed properly. So this is love. Love creates bewilderment. And not only in the spiritual dimension, but also in the material world. But primary characteristic of prema is ananda, bliss. So the baby's suffering in the womb. Okay, suffering's there, but he's in bliss because he's remembering Krishna. This is the conclusion. Any questions? Yes. Yeah, Kapila is teaching like the same thing. They're also praying there.
So, can you say that jiva, being in such unique, and then he offers his prayers?
No, I never read that the chitta is becoming purified. It's just because in the chitta, in the consciousness, there's material sanskaras and possibly spiritual sanskaras, bhakti sanskara and bhog sanskara. So these prayers have been spoken life after life in the womb. So they're recorded within the chitta. So to repeat these prayers again, he's habituated to it. He's done it before. So it's not that the practice of expressing that latent sanskara is going to create additional purification.
So
it's not told that. Yeah, that's what he's saying here. That he's saying, I don't mind. He said, I don't really mind these pains, garbhavasa dukkha, if I can remember you. So he's saying, okay, I'm here, because where does remembrance come from? Does it come from me or somewhere else? Krishna says that remembrance comes from him. Sarvasticha hamridi sannivishto matasmitur gyanam apohanam cha vedashto saraham vidyo. In Gita chapter 15, verse 15, he says, apohanam, smritir, he says, apohanam cha, he says, smriti and apohanam. Apohanam means forgetfulness. Remembrance and forgetfulness come from me. So the child is praying to that Krishna, that Paramatma, that super soul, all pervading, and he's saying, oh, please, help me, please give me smriti, please give me remembrance. So that, because if I know, I've already remembered, or I have the samskara or remembrance from last life, I remember that if I remember you, then I won't feel any pain.
My question is every jiva goes through this process of
human beings. Only human beings. You said every jiva.
Is the womb of a human mother.
Yes, only jivas in the womb of a human being will pray to the super soul.
But somewhere I read that they're considering as embryo in the womb or to be free. So my question is it any jiva? No, actually,
the Srimad Bhagavatam is saying it's for human beings. On the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's applying to the jiva who's in the womb of a human being. Every human being. Even the French. I already said that. French, German, Italian. Yes?
But he can again fall down into the animal form of life.
Yeah, then everything... Then he doesn't get remembrance, then he can't pray, then he's stuck.